Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, Governor. What a lovely day. I hear Joe Charlie got coronated. That's right. This is Cockney Charlie.
How are your flip-flops, Charlie?
Oh, blimey. These flip-flops are... It's a real nice start, isn't it?
I smell like an insurance scam from the Speewax, right?
No, I don't think we were insured for the barn.
You're trying to make it all about you guys.
Oscar. They sat there.
Hey, these damn hippies.
Pretty
glad I brought it up right about now.
I can't afford to patch it up again.
Carol Channing lived at the Watergate. Oh, wow.
In Washington.
Yes.
Yeah. That was her Washington. I bet she went to the Watergate Hotel.
Could be. Could be. But she did stay there for extended lengths of time.
Another dead celebrity.
Yes.
That's so nice of you to remember. I just want to say I'm so happy that I'm dead.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. Great to have you with us here on a beautiful Tuesday. In our nation's capital and in West South Florida. We are on the air and delighted to be with you and happy to have you along. Weird energy as we transition
it
into
is
this,
always weird. It is.
Summer schedule. But we'll do fine. We are heard in great places like Angels Camp, California, White River State Park, Indianapolis, Indiana, Hampton, New Hampshire, Uncasville, Connecticut, Port Chester, New York, and Hoi An, Vietnam.
Yes.
I was lunching with a guy not 2 hours ago where we were talking about Vietnamese people.
And, were you eating Vietnamese food?
No, he was. He spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia and was talking about wonderful things that go on there. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating, yes. One night in Bangkok and the world's your oyster.
Do you remember the artist?
Murray Head.
Exactly.
Was it Murray Head?
It was Murray Head. Very good.
That's
from the musical.
That's a dirty name, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's just dirty.
I remember who was it? Mike Beach would say, "Here's Murray Head. He gives good music."
Did he? Would he say that?
He
what
would.
A pig. God, just jacking.
Thank you, Mike.
Pig.
Thank
what
you.
What a pig.
No, I mean, we were. I mean, just so. Just walking 24/7 horniness. Like up until the age of 60, and then it's like they become elder statesmen. Oh, gross.
It is really gross.
I did not expect that reaction.
It's like even today you look back, you're like, oh, God.
Oh, no, well, that was... How could I have been like that?
Mm. Yeah.
Scandals.
Scandalous.
You know, just DJs.
I know. Bad
getting
people.
Getting in trouble with their wieners.
Bad people.
All the
disc
time.
Jockeys. Mm.
I mean, really. It's just because that's the, as anyone will tell you that's in this business,
yeah.
We all got into it because we thought we'd be cool. We couldn't throw a ball and we couldn't do anything. We weren't pretty enough to be in TV or movies. Some people went on to be in TV, which is a great transition.
The successful ones.
That was always, like George Michael, he wasn't a pretty man, but he got a great TV gig.
Yeah.
And he was able to move on and
he
just
built
say,
the sports machine.
Yeah.
The sports machine, man. You know, and it was just a strange way, and is a strange way to this day.
Ryan Seacrest, to Radio First.
Yes.
Carson Daly,
Radio First.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Well, there's that whole L.A. contingent that goes back to the 60s.
Of with disc jockeys. Hosts.
Yeah, and also remember...
If they were pretty enough, they'd get a gig, like Jim Lang and Tom Kennedy.
Remember,
they
Mike,
were pretty men. Bob Eubanks.
Bob Crane got his start
Bob
in radio.
Bob Crane was a pretty man.
Chuck Woolery.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Woolery was another pretty man. They're pretty men.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most DJs look like Uncle John.
The Uggos stay on the radio.
That was, I think we all have a moment where you see a disc jockey for the first time that really breaks your heart. And Uncle Johnny was mine when I saw him. Because I listened to him every night on Q107.
Oh, Donnie Simpson made it to television.
Well, Donnie Simpson's a pretty man.
He's beautiful man.
Big Tigger. Okay.
Why did you have to kick that in? Because he roams the hallway?
No.
Did you have to add a little more suckling than I just gave
I was thinking of
him?
Local...
Yeah.
Local guys that made it into radio.
Rob did extra suckle just there. He did. I said a pretty man, and you said a beautiful man.
Mike,
you
I have say no
that beautiful.
I have
beautiful
no encounter. Guys.
Billy Bush.
Yeah, Billy Bush. Man.
Billy
good
Bush.
Looking dude.
Yeah, but
what
not
was
beautiful.
It Mix 107?
He wasn't.
Was he 107.3?
I think he was.
Mornings.
That sounds right.
Then straight to television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to tell you something.
Yeah, we've done nothing with our lives.
Yeah.
And by the way, and then Donnie Simpson, I'm sorry, Billy Bush.
Yeah.
It will always, in my mind, be unfairly targeted.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short
I mean,
end
I'm
of that
sorry.
No, short end, yeah, we
what's
talked
Billy
about
Bush
it.
Supposed to, is Billy Bush supposed to say, excuse me, Donald, that is totally inappropriate? No, I'm sorry.
Mike, when
that's why
when
they get away with crap
when it broke, we were shocked as well.
Yep.
Because, and you made a very compelling argument that said, like, what would we do as hosts if you're on a bus?
We giggle and
move nervously
on.
Move on.
Yep. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Unfair. Glad he bounced back.
Yeah.
And he did bounce back.
It took some time, but that was
guy.
A toll. Divorce.
Yeah.
All
absolutely.
Kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the divorce was brought on by that or whatever it was, but it was just like he was there
I blame
doing a piece.
Busket.
For... You blame what?
Busgate.
The whole scandal.
I don't think it was it a gate? Was it a bus gate?
He lost a $20 million gig. He was on the brink of becoming
yeah,
the next
chair.
Yeah,
but when you say busgate, that's sort of in
well, he's got the plumbers, that TV show, The Plumbers, yeah. on his brain.
He does.
And you're all over that show. Because
I'm all about gates.
You're totally Bill? Into it because you live in downtown D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bet you're totally digging on everything that happened.
My father worked a block up from that building.
I worked with one of the plumbers.
Yes.
I thought your dad was one of the robbers.
No, just because he speaks Spanish.
That's the impression I got from watching the. I just checking.
Were they, by the way, were they all plumbers? Is that what it was? Were they all
plumbers?
None of them were plumbers.
None of them were plumbers. They were called plumbers.
No, that's not what I mean. All the guys, both the Cuban guys and the scummy criminals that were working for Nixon were.
I think they
everybody
all
everybody that
better
broke
plumbers,
into that building
yeah.
were they all the umbrella was the plumbers.
Yeah,
right?
I believe so. Yes, yeah, that's right. The impression they give in the
they
show.
They weren't union though.
No, no.
But it was. You're obsessed with that show. Go ahead.
I'm learning about history.
Learning about Cuba.
You learned about Cuba.
Yeah. First fascinating time. A terrible time in our history.
Yeah, well, you remember it. I don't. I mean,
I don't remember that well.
Weren't you a baby?
74. I would have been.
You would have been 74.
I would have been a teenager.
Yeah, you would have been 15.
You probably hear your parents like yelling at the TV, right?
Well, my father was not a fan of the Nixon administration, mm-hmm. and nor was my mother.
The only thing I remember is bad people, ne'er-do-wells, burned our barn down the night Nixon resigned.
Your
what do you
barn?
Mean?
What's that?
Your barn?
Yeah, my grandfather's barn.
Was were they related?
Was there a big Nixon sign on it?
I don't know why it happened. I think America was in a weird mood.
I smell like an insurance scam from the SPIWAX, right?
No, I don't think we were insured
for
the barn.
You're trying to make it all about you guys.
Oscar. They sat there.
Hey,
these damn hippies.
If we were, you look.
Pretty glad I brought it up right about now.
I can't afford to patch it up again. What if? Hear me out here.
Robert, Robbie. Robbie, leave the room, please.
I was three.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be.
Robbie, toddle out of the room now.
Go play with your watermelon.
If,
go get snacks.
What if the if he goes ahead and resigns, we'll say people were upset.
Yeah.
And they were. There were no signs on the barn.
No, right? No. It was a functioning barn. We lost the barn. We lost
but
the tractor.
But when you say, do you mean vandals
yes.
burned down the barn?
It was a popular gathering place for pot enthusiasts, turns out.
So they were smoking out in the bar.
Yeah, and I think that's how it happened. But that's the first memory I think I have as a kid. The fire.
Did Big Daddy talk about it at all, or what?
No, you know, Dana would know. I could find out more about it. I know my dad fixed.
What happened to your barn?
I know that my dad fixed the barn because it had a sagging roof.
Yeah.
And what he did
is. Your dad only wanted that barn for one thing, if I know your dad.
Yeah, for shagging.
Hey, Daisy Duke, loft.
He fixed the sagging roof with the car jack from his Pinto. It was a brilliant.
Did he really?
Yes.
Didn't you lose your virginity to in a barn in Maine, Mike? I mean, that's
hard left turn.
I was like, why do I know barns in this show?
I don't think technically it was a barn.
Okay,
but there was a barn
adjacent.
There was a barn close by.
Yeah, nice. I've seen the house.
Yeah,
and the plaque.
It was more of a French barn. Right?
What does that mean?
I'm speaking code.
The old French barn, yeah. Ooh la la.
I'm such a Bobby Big Mouth. I am.
You, and not only are you Bobby
because
Big Mouth.
Because I get crap about that. I somehow thought it would just go away. And
you
then,
were so excited to tell us.
I was excited.
You really
then,
were.
A different with type absolutely of- no idea because I'm an idiot and I don't think down the road that perhaps our paths will cross again and my entire family will, especially my sister, will just relish the moments that we are at the same social gathering.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Okay,
and
well,
it is
do you
really
sometimes
weird.
Ask her about her first time, her wedding night?
Kathy?
Yes.
No. God, no. Okay. No. It's back, just uncomfortable.
I apologize for the hard left turn. Back to your barn.
Yes.
But it wasn't vandalized because of...
I don't know, but I know
what
that that's
what did you all the tell
night.
The police?
I was three. I don't remember.
Well, then you can't quote what happened because you don't know.
No, I know.
What
I know for a fact it happened.
There
the
Wells did
resigned.
Not burn the barn down. You don't know that for a fact.
Well, I mean,
was anyone ever arrested and prosecuted?
10 people were arrested and prosecuted.
Sure.
No, nobody was. No, it was nobody was. But I do know it was the night Nixon resigned, and I remember being
that the barn burned down.
Yeah, because we lived down the street from the barn. And we came up to see it, and I remember the sirens and the fire engines. It was
anybody
crazy.
Crying out there? Was it an old, beautiful barn?
I don't know about that.
Okay, then you win.
So.
You were just waiting. Bob and I said before the show that someone on the show, and it has to be at the right time, has to say, I don't know about that, just like they do. But anyway, getting back to your plumbing, yeah.
So,
you're obsessed
sorry
with
about
this
the
do you, yeah.
So within the, especially if you're from D.C., there's so much overlap within the show. That, I mean, I guess little nuggets within the show. You're like, oh, I know where that is. Oh, I know where that is. I know where this is. They even CGI the Howard Johnson across the street from the Watergate Hotel and offices.
Oh, God.
That is not there anymore.
I remember it being there.
Yes, I do as well.
So you have a memory when you were a little baby of that?
Driving by Watergate and seeing Hojo.
How do
next...
you have a remember? You were three when he resigned.
No,
this
no,
is
no you go into
my
town.
My father used to work up the street.
It was
how
there
long
sometime
was it there?
Ago.
The Hojo?
Yeah.
I think like 30 years.
Was it there when I worked
yes,
there? Yes,
absolutely.
Was it there in the 80s?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I remember seeing it there.
It just changed. I remember driving by. I was like, man, that's not the Hojo anymore.
Yeah, big orange roof.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike,
okay.
There's a line with the first is a great scene where, is it Howard Hunt?
Yes.
Right?
Howard Hunt.
And I'm Team Hunt, by the way. I'm not
good
team,
for
I'm
you.
Not Team Liddy. If I got to pick a villain. He was. They
good
they,
call. I don't care what the circumstances.
You know what? It
are.
Is a good call. It so, is.
God rest his soul.
I didn't know Howard.
Flipping maniac.
I didn't know Howard Hunt was involved with the Bay of Pigs, and that was one of his operations. That's what it's being pushed.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then the other side is they're at this place called the Cosmos Club, which I guess was a big social club.
Okay.
And I don't know this.
Was it owned by Carl Sagan?
I don't know. What I don't know, because I'm not in the D.C. socialite scene, and I didn't grow
and
up
I
in
wasn't
that world, right?
Then too, because it would have predated me by a
decade. That's true.
There's a line that Woody Harrelson, who plays Howard Hunt, says, "Look, Liddy, if you're wealthy, you're a member at the, you go to the Metropolitan Club. If you're wealthy, that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got some juice, I'm paraphrasing here, you join the Cosmos Club, and if you got nothing." And you're just looking for strange, something along those lines, you join the university club. And Liddy goes, really?
I think they probably, all right, would you like my first
please,
take on
please,
it?
Please, please.
They've renamed those establishments.
No, the Metropolitan Club still exists.
And I've heard
really?
Of the university
yes.
club.
And
I've
actually, what about the Touchdown
I've been,
Club?
I've been.
What about the Gridiron Club?
I don't know those clubs. I don't know those.
Hi, Mike.
I've been as a guest.
I'll see you
Let
at the
clarify.
Touchdown Club.
Touchdown Club. Touchdown.
I don't know about the Cosmos. I don't know about the... I'm sure they exist. I don't know.
I just think maybe to protect the innocent.
Correct.
Well, they don't change a lot of names.
The Metropolitan is, if you're wealthy, and from my perspective,
Was Hunt a member?
He said he was a member at all three clubs.
You see, because in episode two, he was having a hard time...
Paying
the
his
bill
dues
at the country club.
At the country club near Lake Forest Mall. I forget what that's called.
Yeah, but it was. It
Woodmont?
Was,
no, I was looking for it online. It's like Fair Lakes Country Club. It's something. innocuous that you and I would never think about because you know country clubs.
But he took the Liddies to dinner.
Yeah, and the Liddies and Lady Liddy was like, "I don't think we're country club material. It's just you're gonna love it because it's a bunch of stick that lines.
I have to dive in.
But they also
Francis Liddy,
Howard Hunt, or Woody Harrelson's character,
who's also passed, correct?
Hunt.
No,
Mrs. Francis. Liddy. Oh, Francis died. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Before Gordon,
both of them are gone now.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. They show them at the Cosmos Club, and it seemed they make Howard Hunt look like he was always angling for this next like rung in power and
well, they all were.
And that big one that was a big thing because all he keeps telling his kids is, "Hey, I'm back in at the White House."
Yes,
mm-hmm. I'm back in at the White House.
And you hear these muckety mucks, and I'm sure you know this world, Mike, because they're talking about golf, and they're like, "Hey, like we still need a fourth." They're like talking internally about needing a fourth for golf.
Yeah. Okay.
So Howard Hunt walks up to this gentleman, this powerful gentleman, says, "Hey, you know, I'm a 10 handicap. You know, I'm open anytime. Like I got my own clubs." Like he's letting him know he's available. He goes, "All right, Howard, I'm sorry, it's Chevy Chase, members only." So
they blow him off completely.
Yeah.
So Howard Howard Hunt is a climber.
He absolutely
trying to get accepted and in society and back in the
And he has an unhappy home life.
I already like Howard Hunt better than Liddy because it sounds like E. Howard Hunt is me. I mean, they let me in, but that's about it. It happened today.
What happened today?
We got to get you down. This guy was at a slightly nicer place than played with us today, and we hit it off really well.
Yeah.
We won.
You were his partner then, yeah.
I was his partner. He was a guest of another guy, and the other guy put him with me, which is weird. He should have played with his guest, but he thought that he'd get me, and I ended up getting it to him.
Attaboy.
And then this guy said, "Hey, you got to come down and see." And the other guy's like, says nothing, and I'm just like, "Yeah, I get it. I'll never be included."
Well, then you'll love the show. You'll love the show.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check it out.
Because you worked with Liddy, for God's sakes.
Well, yeah, and it was just, at that particular time, he became such a caricature of himself that you tended to forget the insidious nature of the man. But he still had all his far-right politics. He still had all his, you know, gun control is hitting what you aim at. And if you kill an intruder in your home, make sure you drag the body back inside. You know, that kind of stuff.
You forgot one of his great ones.
What's that?
As an ex-felon, I'm prevented from owning any firearms.
Mrs. Liddy has a closet full.
So, Mike, there's a great scene. First, the guy you're talking about right now is the guy that they're portraying on this HBO series.
Okay.
Because he's a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And I think he had that reputation as being a wingnut. You know, he never made it through the FBI.
Right.
Because of his quirkiness, he never made it through to the upper echelons of the FBI.
And I always felt that he embraced that wingnuttedness.
Oh, 100,000%.
To portray himself as a more saleable radio guy. Yeah.
He liked being a radio. He loved being a quirky radio guy.
He did.
I think.
He did. I do too.
I think for a period of time, he really did love that. Yeah. You know? I loved, you know, doing some impressions around him. And you know, I'll never forget. I will always, God rest his soul, when he said to me, "Mike O'Mara does me better than I do me." I will always consider that to be a wonderful, wonderful compliment.
He said, "You are a very talented mimic."
What a very talented mimic. The day I got him being raised, they're all dead now.
I know.
It's going to be me soon. I'm in the on-deck circle. That's what it's going to be.
Two things. One, we had a contractor in roughly a week ago that worked on the set when they were filming the
lighting guy. Yeah.
Yes,
it was
so
cool.
Mm-hmm. So he was giving us some context about the shooting and how like Woody Harrelson's super nice. And he was shocked that they usually, what he said, when Hollywood comes to DC, they just shoot all the exteriors, then they leave. They shot so much at the Watergate and around the Watergate. Mm-hmm. That you can actually tell when you don't even have to look in the show. You can see that they're actually on a balcony at the Watergate doing all this like crazy
long scene. There was a long scene on top of the Kennedy Center that you can see the Watergate from the Kennedy.
Say what you will about the Watergate, but when you're talking about buildings that are much younger that have been raised, torn down, the Watergate it just keeps on chugging and getting renovated and moving new great restaurants in there and having the elite live there. I think if you added up, if somebody wanted to look up famous people who have lived at the Watergate, the list goes on and on.
I know one because she would shop at the Watergate Safeway, where my mom would sometimes work as a youth. Carol Channing lived at the Watergate.
In Washington.
Yes. Yeah.
That was her Washington. I bet she went to the Watergate Hotel.
Could be. Could be. But she did stay there for extended lengths of time.
Another dead celebrity.
Yes.
That's so nice of you to remember. I just want to say I'm so happy that I'm dead.
I get that.
I didn't think she would be happy that she was dead.
Hello, body. Oh, hello, body. You're under the ground and eaten by the worm.
When she sings Hello, Dolly, Mike, it's a dolly to move the body.
You'll move my wooden casket, dolly.
Anyway. Mike, the last thing is...
Yes.
Also, the history lesson... where I figured out it was the McGovern, that McGovern was the, I guess,
the candidate in 1972.
Yeah, the leading candidate. And the idea that you probably didn't realize, you might know this. I feel like everybody knows this except for me.
What?
That they broke in four times.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that until I saw the very beginning. Remember, I only gave it like 5 minutes and it seemed kind of jive, so I moved off of it. And you know, lately I've been really obsessed with some much better viewing, which is watching Silo. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I haven't gotten really attached to any particular program, but I've been watching my slot machine channel.
That's also good. Is Liddy really on that?
It's very hard for me to get away from that. It's very hard for me to get away from that. I just am addicted to it.
Well, I'll
and
tell
there's
you
a
one thing.
There's one guy now that just has jackpots, and I have no idea what his shtick is. It looks to me like he's handing people $1,000 to put in a machine, and he goes, when the thumb comes up, just like that. That's the slogan they're supposed to say.
Shtick. That's good.
And now he's got it on my show. That's how wide it's gone. When the thumb comes up, just like that. And he'll stand off to the side. You never see the guy. He said, okay, now press the next button. Now press it. Now take it up to $25. Now take it up to, oh, there you go. You got a bonus. When the thumb comes up and the person goes, just like that. And it just seems to be this big thing that they're doing. And it's weird. I'll tell you what you
need to avoid, though. And I've given it two chances and I hate it, is the Jeopardy Masters tournament.
Well, I watched last night, my son and I, Mrs. O'Mara was out. Mrs. O'Mara is moving locations, and she's in a temporary place, and then she's going to be in a brand new salon, and she's very excited about it.
You should clarify, she's not leaving the house. She's leaving.
No, she's moving her business to a new location, and she's in temporary space while they finish it. It should be done by the time we get back from Maine.
Great.
So we're really, really excited about it. And it was very, you know, kind of crazy. And I'm with my son and we're watching the Tournament of Champions. And there is a philosophy professor on there that is a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
I mean, a buzzsaw. He won. God, how much did he win? He won like $50,000 last night in one round. It was spectacular.
Well, keep in mind, Mike, they're points, not dollars. That's another thing that bothers me. And also what drives me nuts is before the round, they tell the people at home, not the players, but they tell the people at home where the daily doubles are. And I don't like that. I want to be surprised.
I would love that.
Oh, I hate it.
I catch it early. Yeah, I catch it early and then I fast forward. I record it.
We're watching that.
But anyway, it's look, there's a lot that's good.
It's a good history lesson. My wife.
And entertaining.
God bless her. Like, I don't know what they were doing in Southern Maryland. No indictment on that education system.
Right. But she knows nothing about it.
But at least she's interested, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She had
that's great.
Surface level knowledge about the Bay of Pigs. I hit pause. I said, time for a history class.
And I stopped around her bedroom and explained
to her who Fidel Castro was.
He's a bad guy.
And who JFK and,
good
and
guy.
The Bay of Pigs. And we both had to look up how Howard Hunt was involved. Very interesting.
Well, it is interesting, and I think that in this day and age, we have to remember our history, and we're living it. We're living right now.
Yeah.
This will be talked about for decades to come. Or will it? I don't know. It's just it's interesting. Well, you don't know. I mean, you really don't know what's going to happen. You know. Yeah. But I'm really fascinated by what happened there. If you are going to get into this show with Woody Harrelson, and by the way, I love Woody Harrelson. It's just when I think of docudrama type stuff, I don't put Woody Harrelson.
He
in
does
that,
a great job though.
Mike, he was great in True Detective.
If you want to see a beaten down dad just trying to make it happen.
Yeah,
Woody Harrelson. The majority of his career, I mean, sorry, of Howard Hunt's career that's being profiled is at home being yelled at by his kids or his wife.
Yeah, his daughter, Mike, his daughter got kicked out of American.
Yeah.
So, of AU?
Yeah. Or she
really?
Left America.
She left. She left America. Yeah. Too stressful.
Yeah, too
if
much.
If you really are going to be caught up, and if you want to get caught up, there's a movie that you have to watch, one of the greatest movies ever made, and that's All the President's Men.
Oh, so good.
And that is Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford playing Woodward and Bernstein, and it truly is the story of Watergate that could have just as easily gone by the by, and nobody would know anything about it. These two guys, and I don't think they get enough credit. I think they got tons of credit, but they don't get enough attention for what they did. Yeah. It was pretty spectacular, unearthing this ridiculously paranoid cover-up that went on.
It's a complicated tale, and one of the greatest successes of All the President's Men is it makes it understandable how it all went down.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much license they took. I get the feeling not a lot.
I don't think so either. No. But I think a lot of it happened at the Washington Post.
It's
back
a
in the
great
day
newspaper
when the Post
drama.
Was the Post.
Yeah. And by the way, one of the characters to watch for in the Plumbers is Mark Felt, who is among the people going on. He turned out to
so
be Deep
Throat.
So
that's the guy that's the guy allegedly that was Deep Throat.
Yes.
Played by Hal Holbrook in the movie.
Oh, that's right.
Do you get the impression by watching The Plumbers, because that's history, and then watching Succession, which is loosely based on the Rupert Murdoch empire at Fox News, I watch these shows and sometimes I think to myself, you know, yeah, do we get all excited about the bells and whistles with an election? And I just feel as though the fix is in. I really do. And I'm not talking about the Donald Trump fix. I'm talking about the powers that be that kind of spin the yarn, the spin the wheel, and we all run on the wheel and all that. I feel more and more today like things are just spinning out of control.
We're manipulated.
I really do.
Yeah.
No matter who's in there. And by the way, I'm coming to a different place in my life politically. That no matter who's in there, you know, life goes on. The rich get richer, and you know, the people that aren't lucky
you
enough.
You can't. Don't buy into that. That sounds like me 5 years ago.
Let me tell you why, though. I watched an exclusive and extensive documentary about the homeless issue in San Francisco.
Mm.
And when you get down to it, they came to one of the many conclusions they came to was that the very compassionate nature of the government providing services for people on the street was propagating the people on the street because they were making it. It is now, I think, one of the cheapest places to buy drugs in the United States of America. And when you consider the numbers that of homeless people that are either drug addicted or mentally ill or both, you have a horrible catch 22. Yeah. And in the case of, you know, well, if we just spent money and provided housing and stuff like that, they've got these situations where they try to provide. People want to go back to the streets. You know why they want to go back to the streets? Because it's an easier life for them, because they are so completely out of hope that they want to take their drugs and they want to inject their arm and they want to drift off into happy land where they don't have to worry about the horrible situation they're in. And not that I don't have complete and utter sympathy for the homeless people in these United States, but where I came away from that documentary saying, what the F do we really do? How do we solve this? Why are there all these tent cities? Mm-hmm. Why are there all these people living under blue tarps? I got news for you. All these people are living under blue tarps because slowly, surely, steadily, relentlessly, the folks that have it are getting more of it, and the folks that don't have it are getting less of it. And with less of it, there's less hope. And with less hope, there's more of a need, of a desire to check out from society. And if that, you know what's an easy way to do that? Shove a needle in your arm and drift off to happy land. And it really, I come away not without the idea that I would love to figure out something to do. I come away from that going, what in the name of God are we going to do? And you talk about a liberal bastion of San Francisco where they have, you know, spent money after money after money to try to find resources for people. It's terrifying to me that as we just roll on along in our American society where we're all trying to slay the dragon, what the hell are we going to do? You take a look at Seattle, take a look at San Francisco, take a look at all of our cities.
Well, I mean, look, we live in D.C.
Same in D.C.
During the pandemic, it didn't matter where you lived. There was a little tent city a block from here.
You see it every night on our way home.
And you guys saw it over on Wisconsin Avenue when we'd have many, many little incidents that would happen with the homeless folks that were ill drug addled.
It's gotten worse.
Yep.
It just has in this is the capital of the free world. And we have a higher crime rate. Doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in, everything is up mm-hmm. by double digits. I think it's dangerous, Mike, to see these stories coming off 60 Minutes this past week that profiled San Fran and the fentanyl epidemic. There's some people say that, you know, we need to figure out what these entitlements and these social services and why that allows for X, Y, and Z. And other people will say it's, you know, the rich have everything, like there's extremes to each side of this.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe
mm-hmm.
with that type, and maybe I'm looking at it through the wrong lens, but someone who has traveled to South America multiple times because I'm from there. And see, who's seen and witnessed poverty at a level that it's something that I've never even witnessed here in the States.
Okay.
When you actually have nothing,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there are these programs and there are charities that go and help people is more than most countries even have.
But it doesn't work.
I'm not saying it works.
I mean, based on what I was looking at, it doesn't appear to me to be working.
Do you think it's even slowing it down?
No.
Do you think it's making any progress?
No, it's not. It doesn't look like it is. And if we're judging it by sheer numbers, I look at that and I say, And where I get to, if you were worried that the old radical left Mike O'Mara is taking a nap here, it's wholesale change.
Well,
it's societal.
Well,
it's societal. The way we are constructed is leaving people by the curb.
Let me ask you this.
Opinion.
And I don't want to, look, this is not a bummer. This is just educational, people. Don't feel
we're having a discussion.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The issue in Florida right now with the governor, your governor basically scaring the majority of your migrant workers out of the state.
Mm-hmm.
This exodus of migrant mm-hmm. workers, if you don't know, I'm going to, again, paraphrase this. If you're a big company, you have over 25 employees and you're found employing illegal workers, you'll be fined $10,000 per team member, right? Per employee.
Per employee.
Per employee. So all I see on my TikTok and on Latin American news is these convoys of people leaving for other states.
Okay.
And then work sites, job sites, agricultural sites empty because nobody's come to work. Mike, I don't know if you're friends at the club or you're thinking about this as a business owner down there. Are you all talking about it? That
no.
The cost of doing business in Florida has gone up and will go up?
No, what people are talking about is the getting away, coming into our country and taking advantage of our system. That's the mindset in the great state of Florida, where woke goes to die. So any discussion about helping those unfortunate people,
or
be they regular homeless folks,
who's gonna put the shingles on the roof?
Yeah, you've got plenty of the point would be made, and you would hear it down here that there are more than enough legal documented migrant workers that get the work done, and I don't know what the numbers are percentage wise, but it's overwhelmingly more migrant than it is anybody else. And I think what we're talking about, and we've read, we had the author on years ago, Chasing the Scream, talking mm-hmm. about the heroin addiction. I think this stuff comes from and it's not always going to be socioeconomic. It's not always going to be, I can't make it. It's going to be a lot of times just a lack of hope for whatever the reason is. and it can't always be solved. There are going to be screw ups that aren't going to be saved. Period.
You can't help someone who won't allow themselves to be helped.
Well, you just can't do it. And the thing that makes people go back to the addiction and go back to chasing that, you know, that needle is a lot of times just the lack of hope. It's so painful to exist. And there's so much lack of hope to exist day to day that it's easier in their minds just to sit in on a poopy covered street where they can get that needle, man, and just sit there and drift off for an hour or two. You know what I mean? That's where we are. And it's wholesale change. There are countries that do it better. And I think it's time we start looking at some of these models and figure out how that a person that wants to knock out 40 hours a week, 40 good hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think it ought to be. That's what we ought to be focusing on. How do if I work at a place where they're hiring and they need workers, that just should be allow me to live. Just live. Just live. Live high on the hog. No, just live. Wait. Roof over the head. Food on the table. Yeah. I don't think that's too much. Do you think that's too much of an ask?
Well, no, I think that we're on the same page. But then, and look, you're going to think I'm turning a page with my politics, but the Wall Street Journal has its own view on politics. I get that. But I just read an article in the journal that was breaking down how people, ever since the pandemic, have figured out a way, some people, I hope the minority, for unemployment benefits to game the system.
Oh, it's always been gamed.
Yeah. But at the highest level we've ever seen in our country's history.
I think pure entitlements are not the idea. Oscar, I don't think you're changing your politics. I agree with you. I think that the people gaming the system is why the system is flawed and why the system is corrupt. And why I'm talking about wholesale change that, you're going to game the system because why am I going to bother trying to go and
slay
bust my ass and slay the dragon when I get more money if I go down to a place that's going to hand me, a check.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you had pride. Oh, F you. You have pride because you got lucky and you hit the. By the way, anybody who's successful, if they don't attribute some of it to luck, they're full of crap. They're full of crap. And a lot of people that are just vastly successful do so on the backs of workers all over the place in the United States and everywhere else. I'm just saying I don't see with entitlements a la welfare and charities helping people. I don't think it's not going to solve it. It can't. That's what I got from that 60 Minutes piece.
Yeah.
I just walked away from that, not with no hope, but just with that way isn't going to do it because they've gotten the help. They get the free this and the free that and the free this, and it doesn't do anything when, you're going across to Sausalito where people are living in $14 million, 3,000 square foot homes. What's wrong with this picture? It doesn't make sense. It's out of whack. And there are people that are just benefiting off that, but they're only a select few. It's nuts. It's nuts, and it drives me nuts.
Did the 60 Minutes piece offer any alternatives that other countries have done?
There's desperation.
Wow.
It's just that we're in a situation where when you go out and you look, and it's frustrating, and it makes me sad. But
the power of the drug addiction, the level of the addiction of the drugs now is different than even crack cocaine in the 80s.
Fentanyl is apparently the be-all, end-all.
Doesn't matter
if
you...
It killed my daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
I witnessed it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But anyway, hope you enjoyed this part of the comedy on the Mike O'Mara Show. We're here to entertain.
It was an honest conversation.
My takeaway is watch the Plumber's Show.
Yes.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
We're here to educate. We're here to inform. If you have any thoughts, share them with us. Because I'd like to, and I don't want to be doom and gloom. I think the solution is just making ourselves better, if that'll ever happen someday. Yeah. You know, where Peter and Sam and Jim, they have the same house that everybody else has. Everybody's happy.
What about Juan?
Juan, sorry about that. We'll be right back.
How dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by something that'll take the edge off. Let's talk about dad breath.
Yes, perfect. Please.
It's perfect. The afternoon reset for those feeling burnt out from their daily routine with legal organic smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass offers 100% organic pre-rolled joints that are very low in THC and high in CBD, allowing you to enjoy the effects while keeping a clear head. A clear head. For those who want a delicious treat, Dadgrass gummies are the best on the market, providing all the mellow goodness without any smoke required. All Dadgrass products leave you in a euphoric mood, so you'll be able to relax and unwind in no time. So do yourself a favor and snag 5 minutes for a Dadgrass toke break. You deserve it. Treat yourself. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. That's 20% off your first order. Remember, man, dadgrass.com/TMOS. And we thank you.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. And we start out with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Nice.
It has several covers this year, and one of them features 81-year-old Martha Stewart. God love her.
Good for her.
She's wearing a one-piece bathing suit with a severely plunging neckline.
Severe.
And they look great. I mean, she looks great.
Yes, agreed.
Martha did a little prep for the shoot. She says, quote,
"I didn't starve myself, but I didn't eat any bread or pasta for a couple of months. I went to Pilates every other day. I live a clean life anyway. Good,
well, unless you're playing the stock market, right, Martha? Hey, am I right, ladies? Anyway,
good diet, good exercise, and healthy skincare can do all that stuff, but it was kind of fun."
She adds, quote,
"To be in the cover at my age was a challenge, and I think I met that challenge."
She's got a lot of self-confidence.
Yeah.
Martha does. Martha is one of four cover models this year. The others are Megan Fox. Hello. Model Brooks Nader and trans singer Kim Petras. They are all on the different covers of Sports Illustrated.
Just a quick note. Think about where Sports Illustrated was as a brand 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where it is now. This swimsuit issue is probably the most relevant they've been.
Yeah.
Yeah. In like 10 years.
Oh, it's fun.
And not only that,
like, it's been fun for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, but for sports, like, you don't think about Sports Illustrated anymore.
Martha Stewart also released a new record to celebrate the fact that she's on Sports Illustrated.
Oh, this is exciting. Yeah. I didn't know she made a record.
She did, yeah.
What you're cooking for Vittles, Granny? What you're cooking for Vittles, Granny?
Here
what
she comes. She supper, sings solo.
What do you got?
Let me take a peek in my pot.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
What?
Appreciate that. That's just Rob playing Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies Oscar.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live sketch that was Martha Stewart's topless Thanksgiving?
No, really?
Worth looking at because they blur it out, of course, but it's the whole notion of her doing a Thanksgiving special with no shirt on. It's a panic. Very good, very good.
Hey, speaking of Megan Fox, apparently she has serious body dysmorphia. But she didn't let it stop her from being one of Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover girls. She says, quote, "I don't ever see myself the way other people see me. There is never a point in my life where I love my body, ever." Isn't that amazing to
that
hear
is.
That from somebody like Megan Fox? Megan also says she's on a never-ending journey to love herself. Today is her 37th birthday, and, you know.
I don't buy
spectacular.
It.
You
she's just trying
lie?
To be the every woman.
Really?
Like, it's just like when guys that aren't. I have never been fat. They gain a little fat, and I'm sure then you're like, you're not fat. Get over it. Like, you have options. She has been smoking hot since she was of age, and that has helped her career, and her brand has been built around that.
I don't know, Oscar. Megan, what do you think about that?
Shut up!
Never mind.
Wow.
I'm happy about
her that. Voice sounds different.
I don't know what it is. A TMZ documentary called Britney Spears, The Price of Freedom, aired on Fox last night, and it claims that the marriage between Britney and Sam Asghari is in serious trouble. Did you happen to look in on this at
yes,
all, Oscar?
This of course.
Is your, I knew he would.
Yes.
I
should have been in Vegas and put a bet down. I remember I said, don't put away the butterfly nets.
She's still
amazing that Oscar
troubled.
Follows Watergate history and the current relationship status of Britney Spears.
Well, supposedly, Britney has been known to fly off the handle and even attack Sam physically.
Oh,
he's a
Britney.
Big guy. So he just shrugs it off. But security has had to step in and restrain her several times. And supposedly Sam rarely stays at the house anymore. Over the weekend, Sam posted a message on his Instagram story that seemed to be a defense on Britney's behalf. He didn't mention the documentary specifically, but he said it's, quote, absolutely disgusting that people, quote, went and told her story like it was theirs. He added, quote, after 15 years, when she's free, after all those gaslighting and after all those things that went down, he sounds like a smart guy.
I'm sure he is. Well, she likes the intellectual type.
Now you're going to put her under a microscope and tell her story? No, that's also disgusting. So don't do that. So this guy, Sam Oshka, is he a, he's a big dude? Is he a
tough dude? He's a dreamboat.
He's a dreamboat.
Yeah,
really?
He's like just very tall and athletic.
Leave Benny alone! Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
Mike, that's the great Chris Crocker. That's Chris Crocker.
Did you get that from the Thomas Edison collection?
I don't know why it sounded like that. It was like on a wax cylinder.
Do you know anyone who does this? A lot of young people do, apparently. Sometimes on purpose, but also as sort of a nervous tick. The Guardian in the UK, the newspaper, just did a story on how Americans have started speaking in British accents when they feel awkward in social situations. I know nothing of this. Has your daughter ever done this?
No, Julia? But I remember a lot of the nerdy types when I was in 7th and 8th grade spoke in British accents. I think it was a Monty Python thing. Mm. So well, I remember it of a nerdy thing more than an awkward thing.
They talked to a bunch of Gen Zers who admitted it's become a habit. Most say it's something they unconsciously do when they feel uncomfortable. Here's an example. A woman who works in tech said she recently wanted to let her boss know she was feeling burnt out. So without thinking, she said in a British accent, "It's affecting me mental health, isn't it?" That's funny. Then her boss, who's older, was like, "What the heck was that?"
Ah,
he didn't understand what she was saying. Some Gen Zers say they also do it when they have to confront people. Like one guy needed his roommate to take the trash out and said in a British accent, "Can you please take out the rubbish? Can you do it now?"
I'd kill him.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't care for
He was bludgeoned.
Yeah, he was. He was bludgeoned. That's sad.
All right,
right,
here's a story that I am frankly burned to the max on.
Okay.
But it's top of headlines. So Jamie Foxx continues to receive medical treatment after his serious health scare last month in Atlanta that no one wants to talk about, that his people are keeping a secret.
Is he related to Megan Fox?
No.
I have no idea. Okay. I don't think he's got body dysmorphia, but he might have bigger problems. He's in a new city at a facility touted as the top physical medicine and rehab center in the country. Jamie's family, including his daughters Corinne and Annalise, as well as Annalise's mother Kristen Granis, were all in Chicago both Saturday and Sunday to spend time with Fox during his continued care. While we still don't know exactly what happened to Jamie or why he's there, we know the facility specializes in stroke recovery, traumatic brain injury rehab, spinal cord injury, and cancer rehabilitation. You've heard multiple times that they think he may have suffered a stroke, but nobody really knows.
Or someone tried to unalive him.
Yeah,
that's your theory. You're holding on to that one like a pit bull. Like a pit bull on that one. You've been on a few dates with this new guy you met online, and everything seems to be going great.
He is really sweet.
He's funny. He's charming, but something seems to feel off. The more time you spend around him, the more you start to notice a few red flags.
Oh, no.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, and for you single people out there, for the ladies or the guys that want to find another guy, here are eight non-obvious signs you're dating a man-child. And I will have the dinger handy to hit the dinger if one of the three of us has any of these qualities.
All right.
He can't hold down a job. I think we all count on that. We don't get the day.
We pass.
We have jobs.
He has little to no ambition or drive for success.
Sorry about that.
That's one of us. There you go. Thank you. Rob, thanks for owning it. Number three, he's unreliable when it comes to money.
You know, I try, though.
We're not saying it's you.
No, of course not.
I'm not reliable when it comes to money either, Rob.
I know.
Thank you.
But I'm the worst.
He's not emotionally supportive. Anyone else?
I am not emotionally supportive. I need the facts.
Very good. Okay. Number five, he doesn't take responsibility for his actions.
Here.
Thank you, Rob. He's jealous of other men. That's me. I'm going to own that one. Yeah. I always am. Not in a way that is a deal breaker, but I definitely speak up.
Yes. Know?
I said, oh, you're talking to that landlord for an extra amount of time, aren't you? You get a special rate? I'm a monster. Number seven, he has no interest in doing anything productive or creative.
That's capital S-P-E.
Oh, stop
W-A-K.
No, I totally disagree. You have total interest in doing things creatively. You do it all the time.
I suppose.
Yeah, so you got to, now I'm lifting you up a little
Thank
bit,
you. Okay? Thank you.
We all do that, and we all fall into that category.
Correct.
We like doing stuff that's creative. And number eight, his parents still do his laundry, cooking, and cleaning.
Bloom?
Oscar, I had to put you in on that category.
Yeah, because, you know, my parents live with me.
Well,
there it is.
And they do my laundry.
Mama!
Thank you. That's it. It's, very
his clothes are very tiny.
Yeah.
Hey, we could spend a whole bonus show on it, couldn't we? All right, now a something-something. A man was in custody Saturday in Maryland after allegedly stealing a 5-ton military vehicle from a private residence and leading police on a chase down an interstate highway, causing several crashes. His name is Michael Stevens II. He's 38 years old, and he faces charges of motor vehicle theft, 2 counts of first-degree assault, 2 counts of second-degree assault, and failing to obey a lawful order in the wake of the Friday incident. That happened all the way out in Harford County, where I think you still vacation out there, Rob.
Yeah,
right,
I've got an A-frame. The fishing's great.
sheriff's deputies and other law enforcement agencies pursued this massive truck or whatever. It's got an initial name. I didn't know what the vehicle was. The driver later identified as Stevens finally stopped in Baltimore and fled the vehicle on foot before being apprehended. Authorities said. Cops reported that the man appeared to be really tanked.
I'll take it.
Thank you very much. That's funny. It's a big 5-ton tank.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know what
I don't know where to park it, though.
I don't know about that. We'll take a break. Come back with more. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. When you want to look and feel your absolute best, there's one place to go. Dermglow. Right now, they have a massive sale with 23 incredible items up for grabs. Dermglow ships everywhere, and they offer Afterpay. Think of Dermglow for all your gift-giving needs, e-gift cards, luxurious body and skincare products. I'm going to tell you about their SPF. I use it every single day, and I'm out in the sun every single day. And I love this stuff. It's not like some of the bad stuff you put on where you can't really avoid the burn and you get
that
metal break
taste
out
in your mouth. No,
it's
nasty.
Bad. Yes.
By the way, Carla does virtual skin consultations as well and indulgent pampering facials.
Yes.
Something for everyone. And it's never too early to start planning for Father's Day. Show your dad some love with, yes, it's called. Excuse me just a second.
It's worth the wait.
I had to do it.
Sorry.
Takes a little while I turn it on. So
sure.
You just have to. All right.
Oscar, how you been?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Father's Day right around the corner.
Dermglow, perfect gift.
Dermglow.
All right.
We'll take it from the last sentence.
Show
please?
Your dad some love with Mike's Big Package. Or
Mike's.
What?
Mike's Little Package.
I think
both
the
available.
Client is going to like this spot.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Both available at discounted prices. By the way, if I happen to be married to you, I'll have this much fun with your commercial. So if you'd like to marry me and then advertise on the Mike O'Mara Show,
this took a swerve.
Come ahead.
I did not think that was going to go that way.
Mike's big and little packages, both available at discounted prices right now. Don't miss out on these amazing deals. Visit DermGlowSkin.com to shop for incredible offers that will make anyone's day,
including yours.
Ah, Dermglow. Your path to radiant beauty. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and do it today. I want to talk about what Oscar brought to the table today. Terms that are misused.
Mm. Okay.
And, everybody screws up the English language now more than ever, in my humble opinion. And I'd love to hear the terminology. We all like to pretend We have big vocabularies, but I think we all muff it.
And also terms go away. I mean, there's stuff that I would hear all the time growing up that you never hear anymore.
Right.
Like, for example, I heard one today, robbing Peter to pay Paul. I used to hear that. You don't hear that anymore.
Not as much. No. I know of it. I know it. Or what my mom used to say to me, did somebody make a bullfrog?
Like, let me start with, and
then you don't hear that anymore.
Everybody weigh in. Okay.
That's sad.
I have to tinkle. That's
I am guilty of this next phrase. And this is just five. I'll have more as the weeks go by.
Right, but usage is interesting. My bag, man. Yeah. So I'm ready for this.
How many times have you heard me or someone you're like, oh, you're clearly not from here, say, I could care less instead of I couldn't care less?
That's a bugaboo for me. I don't like
that
one.
I've said it. I'm sure I've said I could care less. I could care less. I've said it a million times. And I think really, when you talk about misused phrases, that's maybe one of the all-time biggies because it is, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
I could not care less. Mm. If you could care less, that means you care and you've got a lot more room coming and it's a total
couldn't is the key.
Yeah. Right. What if you do care though? Then you could say I could care less.
What?
If you do care, then you could say it wrong.
Moving on.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Shut up.
Thank you.
That's a little loud, by the way. Can we turn that down just a little bit?
Absolutely. Thank Let me turn it down right here. Thank here we go.
Shut up.
Pique your interest. Spell pique your interest. Mike.
P-E-A-K. Your interest.
You, pique. You fool.
How about P-I-Q-U-E?
Yes. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this guy.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. Ball on the floor. Well, you've piqued my interest now, motherfuckers.
Yes. Whoa, excuse me.
How are you feeling, Roy?
Dead as a doornail. Ball on the floor. Peaked. Okay. All right. Okay. Is that like peaked? You
yes.
look a little peaked?
Yes.
Is it?
No. That's, no. Peaked is P-E-A-K-E-D.
No. Yeah. This is P-I-Q-U-E.
Peaked. Yeah. Peak. Like it tantalizes you. Piques your interest.
Yeah.
Ooh, you've piqued my interest.
Aw.
Wearing that lovely thong.
How many times is it usually kids would say this?
Right.
Or.
Don't touch me?
No. Is that me? That's funny.
hunger, can I come out of the cube now?
Hunger pains instead of hunger
it's
pangs.
Hunger pangs.
Pangs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I say hunger pangs.
Yes.
I've never had them, though.
Oh, I what is it?
I have them right now.
I enjoyed the movie Hunger Pangs.
John Lennon used to date May Payne.
Was it Pang?
May Pang, yes.
Oh, okay, I don't know that. Well, that's over my head.
What we got King of Pang.
Oh, by the police.
Yes.
House of Pang. House of Pang.
House of Pang. You don't know what Pang is. Silence of the Lamb.
Yeah,
it's true.
You.
Yeah,
I like that. That's another good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is? But it just means you're hungry and you have pain
hunger
in your stomach,
pangs.
Right?
Yeah. Your stomach's gurgling, banging
okay,
at
just
you.
Just confirm.
Yes.
Okay. The next one is people usually use the term deep seated when it's actually deep seated.
Yeah, deep seated. I have a deep seated dislike for all things bullying.
So what is the appropriate spelling is
S-E-A-T-E-D.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
It's deeply seated within my scrote.
Oh, no.
It's deep down inside. Deep seated.
I have definitely said seated. When
is it
I saw
seated?
This.
Is it S-E-A-T-E-D?
It's S-E-A-T-E-D, but I have said it in the seed, S-E-E-D-E-D.
Oh, I was thinking C-E-D-E-D, like you seed something.
Like secede from the union.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, but I've said deep seated instead of deep seated.
Okay, very good.
All right.
And that's the last of the five I have for today.
Okay, all right, that's good.
I think we did
you
pretty
like
good.
I three of them I've definitely messed up on a regular basis.
Usage is my bag, man. It really is. There's one that Rob, do you know Rob, the one that for decades I have taken issue? It's not really a misused phrase as much as it's a grammatical error that Rob makes routinely and
it has to do with subject and predicate agreement, and it doesn't pop to mind right now. But
like
I know
if you go to King's Dominion, you will say There's roller coasters. There's food stores.
And there should be. There are roller coasters.
That's one that.
And I know another one that you dressed me down the other day for that I shall try to fix, which is.
What's that?
Experiment. It's not experiment. It's experiment.
One that I used to screw up, I would say you are the atypical example of a guy that's a good golfer. When I'm misusing, I'm trying to say he's a good golfer. It's the opposite.
Yeah, atypical means not typical.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are the atypical, conformist.
So not I'm a not a conformist.
That means you're not a conformist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I that's think one that I would confuse add. Me just in a conversation.
It's atypical.
And
it's
I'd be like, atypical oh, thank word. You.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many more. And this list is vast. I just thought those were the ones that jumped out to me.
One that I heard growing up a lot in my household was, if it's one thing, it's another.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense at all. It should be, if it's not one thing, it's another.
The one that I heard routinely from both my mother and my father in my house was, that's why she's going to a better college, because she's smarter than you. We have to take a break. And,
Mike, did you make a bullfrog?
Made a bullfrog, and then I went tinkle.
I like...
Kathy didn't let me poop.
What did your dad say in the back of the car? Did you hit mud?
Did you hit mud? Yeah, did you hit mud? Yeah, I love him. He had a million of them. I'll collect them one day. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program brought to you by our good friends at Liquid IV. Oh, man, is it hot down here in Florida. I'm not kidding. It is. Today the car was sweating, and I knew, even though it was 73 degrees, that in about 2 hours, it was going to hit, and that's why everybody down here is chugging down the Liquid IV with just one stick. Get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Perfect for any time of day. Anywhere, made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Try the new Seaberry. Seaberry flavor, it's the best one ever.
Hi, Seaberry.
Hi, Rob.
It's hot, isn't it?
Yes, I want my strawberry lemonade flavor. Or stick with your old favorites. Plus, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings to over 50 countries, making it a positive impact on the world. Be like me, drink Liquid IV, and feel awesome! Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
May I make one quick recommendation?
Yeah, but I think
wish you would.
I think I got from that community pool the other day.
Oh, no.
I swear to God. Yeah, it is the 80s, so I don't have to worry about getting it anywhere else.
Seated in your lip?
if it's one thing.
Got like 2 hours ago, I'm at the finishing up the round of golf and going, I might see you all there. And it freaks me out.
Oh, is it on the inside or outside?
Outside.
Yeah, that's really bad when you can feel them like a day and a half before they
I don't get them.
They bloom.
This is gross.
I don't get cold sores, but I...
Oh, I haven't had a cold sore, but I'm talking more like a zit.
Oh, no, I don't have a zit.
Okay. No,
I don't have a zit. Guys, I don't know where that came from, but there's a
documentary.
Yeah, there's
me.
A documentary.
Not at all.
On Apple Plus. It's called Still. It chronicles Michael J. Fox's battle with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, I was absolutely floored with the quality of this doc and the story and the way he tells it. I mean, it's not just a
What knocked you on your ear about it?
Well, first, it's a first-person account, and there's so much footage of Michael J. Fox from his films and television that they were able to build and recreate the scenes of him working on Family Ties and also working on Back to the Future at the same time. And then later on in life...
Spin City,
and a handful of other shows and movies, and how he hid for 7 years that he had Parkinson's.
Incredible.
And the scenes where you could see, if you were looking, him fighting the tremors. In the final cut of the films and TV shows.
Because if you're not looking for it, yeah.
Was it Boston Law where he played a lawyer or he played somebody? I think it was on...
Boston was Legal,
on,
maybe?
It was either Boston Legal.
The Good Wife.
The Good Wife. Okay,
yes.
I knew it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he did a great job he was really in the throes of it, and he didn't do that much to hide it.
Yeah,
that's just incredible.
His battle with addiction. How he sobered up. Like it is.
What, was he a booze guy?
Well, he was trying, he was trying to escape the secret.
Understood.
Of living with Parkinson's. By the way, diagnosed in his late 20s, something that usually happens in your 60s and 70s. Yeah. And a lot of the performances that you, this is what I gleaned. Feel free to get your own take on it. I felt as a younger man, where did this guy go? This superstar, and how did his star for some time with the movies he was making and choosing, how did his star fall from the days of Back to the Future and all these major hits like teen, like, you know, not just the teen heartthrob side, but his young career. What we didn't realize, Mike, is that he was fighting Parkinson's. So he was taking certain medications that would freeze his expressions on his face. So as
incredible.
as an actor,
I can't imagine being in the public eye on any level, much less a performer.
Yes.
Dealing with that, just incredible.
They have Roger Ebert, Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
They actually panned to one of their critiques of one of his later films.
Yeah.
On how this character didn't have a lot of depth and expression. He was fighting Parkinson's and nobody knew.
Wow.
How much time do they spend on that wonderful wife of his, Tracy? Is it Tracy Pollock?
Pollen.
Pollen?
Substantial, but
sure.
So. I'm pretty sure. They
built a house on it. Correct her.
So substantial, but not.
I want to make sure. Hold on. No, you have to stop. He corrected me. I want to make sure I get it right. Because she was really incredibly supportive of him.
An atypical.
She?
Tracy Pollan, Pollan.
And she was very supportive.
She was super supportive, and they highlight her to high
she
level.
She played on.
They met on Family Ties.
Yeah.
Based on the way my wife has treated me recently as I begin to, you know, show early signs of aging in a variety of ways.
ED vision, or dementia?
The ED's fine.
Okay.
The ED's A-okay. Okay. I don't know what that might be, an Irish thing, but, you know, as I like to call it, the little muscular mushroom.
He's always ready to fight. Good for you.
Always good like this. Fighting ready.
Well, the problem fightin is, ready. If it does become if it does become dementia, they'll be ready to fight at the wrong time.
That was extremely nakedly cruel.
We need you to leave the grocery store now, sir.
The other day, I ran a little errand because I left the house, and you know, Friday, Oscar, we did the show, and then you knew I was beating feet to get out of here.
Yes,
I mean, like within the half hour. We're leaving. We're going to the beach. Mm-hmm. We're having a getaway trip for Mother's Day weekend. We're going down. And I left. I went down there with, and this is a beach trip where we're going to hang out by a pool and the Oceano Atlantico. I left the house without a bathing suit. I left the house without flip-flops. Mm. I left the house without a belt. I literally, you know, for like going out to a nice restaurant. Yeah.
Do you have to pack yourself?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, my wife packs every time we travel. She packs my bag.
She packs for you?
Yes, which is,
I would never trust my wife to pack for me.
It's a tradition passed down from my father and my father's father to me and now my wife.
You're a very blessed man.
I am.
You are a very blessed man.
Does she ever screw it up?
All the time.
Okay.
Well, I have to run out and I have to buy.
Attaboy. That's a good guy.
I have to buy some flip-flops and a bathing suit. Okay. So I know that there's a beachy town.
But didn't you used to like to travel places and buy clothes there as a younger man?
Yeah, but
I'm
not in that zip code. It's a major F up. It's a major F up because I don't have the money anymore.
Flip-flops cost $60 now.
It's big insane.
Big deal.
I know.
So, and I went to the wrong store to get them. I didn't want to get them at Wings.
Gucci flip-flops.
No, this was a little beachy, super
They're going to gouge you.
Surfer.
Oh, a skateboard store? Forget about it. $50 for board shorts if you're lucky.
$70
on sale.
For bathing trunks.
Yeah.
Oh, they
and they're all
coming.
Size small and medium.
Yeah, they run small.
Blow it out your butt.
Yeah.
So
you have triple XL.
I did buy the flip-flops because they were Reefs, you know, the ones you see in a drugstore.
Sure.
And yeah, they were like $40.
Yeah, they're expensive.
To get the Reefs.
You forget
they
your flip-flops,
cheap.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
But then when it came to bathing suit, it's like across the street. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I didn't have my wallet because I put that somewhere and I didn't know where it was. So Carla handed me her little bank card to buy. And then when I got back, she said, "Do you have my bank card?" Like as soon as I walked in the door. And she said, Do you have my bank card?" I'm like, I said, I think it's on the seat of the car. I think I forgot that. Like that. So I do a deep dive looking for it. Then the next, that evening we're going out, I do another deep dive for it. I realize I don't have it. I don't have it. Bad. She gave it to me.
It's a bad feeling.
And the next morning, we don't have it that night. It's too late. The evening's begun. We're just chilling out. And we are getting ready to go out. And we realize the stores are still open. We'll do a flyby on our way out to Din Din.
Sure.
And we go in, and she walks into the wing store, and because we verified that the Shishi place, I had used my car. So I'm totally forgetting, like, I wouldn't know my name if it wasn't tattooed to my head. I guess I found my wallet or something. I don't know what's going on. To make a long story short, she goes into the wings, comes out, waving the card, and she said, it was in the parking lot.
Oh, God.
So put out the silver alert
now,
for yours truly.
Mike, you're not good at when you're outside your routine.
Yeah.
You got to have your routine.
That's
the
true.
Small world that I live in. He talks about having a small world. I have a smaller world. I have a little bitty, little tiny world right here.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
Playing with guys all season, months and months and months, and I'll see a guy because he took a month off, and he comes back in, and I said, hey, how you doing? What is your name that I can't remember
That's
anymore?
When you start calling people friend. How you doing, friend?
Hey, Slick. How you doing, Hello, Charlie. That's what I'll do from now on. If I don't recognize somebody's name, I'll just go right into Marlon Brando. Hello, Charlie. I could have been a contender, Charlie. Hi, Charlie. How you doing? Or I'll do Charlie. I'll do the Charlie voice, you know? I say, how was your vacation? Your name escapes me right now.
Charlie, where's your bank card?
Well, wouldn't you do when
on the ground.
A British accent, Charlie? Wouldn't you do a British Charlie?
Hello. Hello, what a lovely day. Hello, governor. What a lovely day. I hear Charlie got coronated. That's right. This is Cockney Charlie.
How are your flip-flops, Charlie?
Oh, blimey. These flip-flops are... It's a real nice style, isn't it?
Isn't right? It? Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, blimey. I like this style. That's right. I'm Cockney Charlie, a new character on the Mike O'Malley show.
You live in the sootiest part of London?
That's right, it's a crappy place. I live in the back alleys where Jack the Ripper did all his murdering.
Oh, no.
Did you know him? Did you know Jack?
Yeah, I did, because I've lived forever, because I'm Charlie the Cockney boy.
Yes, I remember.
How about that Camilla time? Ain't been real nice to her, has it? Huh?
Be nice, Charlie.
Oh, that's right. I'll tell you something. That's like a couple of miles of bad Audubon. That's right. Take a look at her. All the pearls in the world ain't going to dress up that fruit salad. That's right, mate.
I'm
Charlie Cockney.
Are you still bathing in the Thames River?
Oh, all the time. I don't care about your raw sewage. You know? Water's water, isn't it?
It is, Charlie.
Water's just water. You just wash it off.
Yeah.
Wash the fecal matter off your body.
The fecal what?
The fecal matter.
Okay.
Wash it off your body.
What about fish and chips?
Oh, fish and chips. That's right. Oh, put the chips on a newspaper. Cockney Charlie, gotta eat them all right now. Yummy yum.
But you don't remember names?
I don't remember names at all.
What?
Because it's King Charles.
Yes.
And Prince. Yep, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't Andrew.
I know.
I
know one name that you always remember, Charlie.
What's that?
Benny Hill. That's your favorite show.
Oh, I love that show. I love that show when he hits people on the head. That's a good time, isn't it? That's right. Fantastic. Cockney Charlie. Hello, Ted Lasso.
Do you like Ted Lasso?
Richmond rocks.
Team Richmond. That's why you're wearing that scarf.
That's right. I got the Team Richmond scarf on right now. That's right.
Is it too tight?
Football is life. We got to take a break, Rob, because you got your flip side coming up.
I hope you come back soon, Charles.
I'd love to come back and visit. In fact, I may never come back as regular Charlie now, my
lord. Oh.
That's right, mate. I might just come back always as British Charlie. This might be a permanent state of affairs. Regular listeners getting a bloody kick out of this now, aren't they?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Malley Show, everybody. This portion of our program brought to you by Electric E-Bike! It's for the neighbors walking their dogs right now late in the afternoon. Spring into outdoor adventures with electric e-bikes. Experience the bike you've always wanted with amazing and affordable financing options. These fast, fun, and foldable bikes are ideal for quick errands or longer journeys, packed with features like a removable battery, LCD display, and multiple levels of pedal assist. Electric e-bikes are perfect for everyone. Not only do they provide a thrilling ride, but they also help lower gas costs and reduce your carbon footprint. Join Oscar and countless other happy riders and say goodbye to parking fees. Embrace freedom of riding electric e-bike. This spring, get ready to explore, enjoy the outdoors, and make every ride an adventure with electric e-bikes. Start your next adventure with Electric E-Bikes Ready Set Spring Sale. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more and explore the new Expedition Cargo e-bike and all of the other epic models Electric has to offer. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. We love them. You will too, people.
The Flip Side. Seems we've been hearing for a long time about Dolly Parton's upcoming rock and roll album or her rock album.
Yeah, lots of collaborators, fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of people on it. It's coming out, I believe, in November, but they dropped the first track, and this is how it sounds. It's called World's on Fire. It's a winner.
It's all about the chops. It's all about the chomps.
Yep.
It's fun.
However, Mike, it's funny you should use the phrase chops.
Yeah. Why?
I'm worried about Dolly's teeth.
Why?
Because she did an interview on the Today Show. It was a pre-recorded one.
Oh, no, she got old person teeth.
Mike, it was a pre-recorded one with some guy that I don't know. Okay. And this is her talking about that particular record about
Rob.
The politicians.
What politicians are you talking about?
All of them. Any of them. I don't think any of them are trying hard enough. I'm sure we're all trying, but I just really think that I think often that they worry more about the party than they do about the people. If we just do what we felt was the right thing rather than who's going to lose or who's going to win this or who's going to look better if they do this rather than working from the heart.
That's right.
All right, she's got a little of that.
How dare you?
I know. You with your soft teeth. How dare you throw darts at good old Dolly?
I'm just worried about her. I want to make sure she gets
to sound like when that? You're going to be going,
happy birthday, baby.
There's going to be a my voice will be muffled at that age because there'll be 6 feet of dirt over me.
I was walking out of my physical therapist. This is two mornings ago, just briefly.
Yes.
The gentleman was meeting his colleague and he smiled. He goes, I want to warn you. I have no teeth. And he's in a suit. He's in a suit talking to another man in a suit. And he goes, oh, dear. His friend says, oh, dear. He goes, yeah, I was in a hockey game and they busted all my teeth. And then he's smiling, saying these things.
And he's got no teeth.
No teeth.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Like an Alex Ovechkin smile.
Yeah, can you imagine trying to lobby someone with no teeth?
We really think you got to jump on board with this. Really jump on board.
You know what he'd say?
Right,
he would say, I know that it's over, but I'd feel much more comfortable wearing a mask today.
Yeah, you can cover up with that. Mm-hmm. It works for me when I'm robbing 7-Elevens now.
Again. Mike, in Florida, I believe this is in the northern part of the state.
Okay.
Itchituckney River?
Itchituckney?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a river in Florida.
Yes, of course it is. And there's two women tubing on Itchituckney. Mm.
Okay.
And as they go by, it's hard to really explain this in a nice way, but when you go to some tubing rivers,
tube?
They're very clean. They're clean on either side. This looked sort of like a Florida tubing river, and there was a...
Hey, they're pretty rivers in Florida.
I understand. But this had a large tree that had fallen in and was just sitting there, which would have been fine if it didn't have an 8-foot alligator on it. And so this is the people going by, the two ladies going by the Florida.
Jessica! What is it? It's alligator! Oh, it's hissing. It's hissing at her! Oh, my God!
It's hissing at her.
There she is. Yeah. Can I ask this question?
Yes.
I want to ask it as delicately as I can.
Please.
The tubes they were on,
yes.
Were they high above the water or were they lower in the water?
Mike, here's a phrase we didn't mention when Oscar was doing phrases. Have you ever heard the phrase fighting a losing battle?
That answers it right there.
So we don't travel much anymore because, you know, we're getting back to
yes.
it. But flight attendants travel a lot. And I found right. this fascinating. This looked like a foreign flight attendant, like maybe from Aer Lingus or maybe a British airline, talking about what she does when she checks into a hotel. Mm. She has a routine she does okay. before she can feel safe.
I'm a flight attendant, and this is my hotel check-in routine. I start by checking the room for any unwanted guests before adding my do not disturb sign and, of course, locking and deadbolting the door shut. I then have a quick check for any hidden cameras or any two-way mirrors using the fingernail technique. I log any valuables, such as passports and documents, into the safe. I then like to give my room a quick sanitize down, focusing on items that are commonly used within the hotel room. Then it's finally time to remove my uniform and take a nice, hot, well-deserved shower.
I did not know what the fingernail technique was for checking a two-way mirror.
Oh, no, I didn't see her, but she can try it on me sometime. I love that accent.
If you hold your fingernail to a mirror,
mm-hmm.
there will appear to be a gap between your fingernail and your fingernail in the reflection
wow.
if it's okay. If it's just your nail
if
on nail.
If there's no gap?
If there's no gap, you're in trouble. Mm. Watch out. That's the fingernail technique.
Then she has to make it to the gate, just like we wait for Oscar doing the show. And we also, Oscar's here.
Right on time. Let us begin.
Now, Mike, also, yeah. We are still, a lot of people forget this, we're still in birthday season.
Oh, it is.
Is it?
It is birthday season, and this little girl is so excited.
It's your birthday.
My birthday?
Yeah.
My birthday?
Yeah.
Yay!
Can you play that one more time? Because I can sweeten it a little bit.
Sure.
It's your birthday.
My birthday?
Yeah.
My birthday?
Yeah.
Yay!
Shut up!
And Mike, that's all I've got.
Thank you very much. There you go. I don't know what's wrong with me today. It's the energy.
Dark place.
You hate children.
I do. Micah got hit in the face with a soccer ball this
Aww.
Afternoon.
Oh, it sucks.
I'll have that on tomorrow's Mike O'Mara Show.
Good teaser. Value-added teaser.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying we'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That's what that is, man. I'm telling you.
Nasty, vicious, drunk.
Oh, Mario, get you next time.
Why are you crying?